Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally for this Wednesday, December the 6th. Brad here with you, of course. And of course, with me is Dalton. Dalton, how are you, sir?
I am good. You know, football season's over now. I don't really know what to do myself.
Pretty much, yeah. We're transitioning pretty much into basketball full bore now, and some other stuff going on in the area, some other sports, namely soccer, but it's mainly basketball here now. And so we're going to actually talk about a little bit of both, a little bit of football, wrapping up the state championships, a little bit of basketball as we get into get deep into the season. Some teams even starting division play. This week, we're also going to talk a little bit about the all-area football team. We're not going to give any spoilers away. Let's not get crazy. But we're going to talk about the format, which is going to be a little bit different this year. And so we'll get into all that. We'll have Athletes of the Week, as usual. And just a reminder, you can access this podcast in a variety of ways. We're in iTunes. Just click the subscribe button. You'll get notified when new episodes drop, or any of your other podcast apps can do the same thing. You can stream it online, preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. We'll notify you there as well of new episodes. And that's just also our high school sports Twitter account for all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Let's start by looking back at what transpired in Oxford last weekend. Dalton, we had two teams from the area playing for state titles. West Point, no surprise, Dalton, you covered that game. They faced Hattiesburg. We thought Hattiesburg might give them a game. And I guess early on they kind of did.
Yeah, they did. It was 14-7 at one point, and everybody thought, you know, Hattiesburg's really good. They're also 14-0. They've had no problem with anybody.
Right.
So everybody was kind of predicting a little closer game. I said before the game, I said, I think this is going to be 42-14.
You were close.
You can't win them all, I guess. I was kind of upset. It was 41-15, but it was the Marcus Murphy show.
Yeah, again.
That's all it was. It was just Marcus Murphy, and more Marcus Murphy.
Yeah.
Scored the first two touchdowns on two drives. I think he had 100 yards on his first two drives on six carries.
Wow.
And then defense had two interceptions off of Hattiesburg's Jared Connor, who had only thrown two interceptions all year.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and then I think it Murphy Calvert. This is how they scored. So,
you know what's funny? Marcus Murphy, he's a running back, but he plays quarterback. Is the position he mainly plays for West Point. And you talked about him getting over 100 rushing yards early. I covered the Olive Branch game the previous week at West Point, and after like two drives, he had over 100 yards passing in that game. He can do it all.
They didn't pass too much. Whenever they did pass, he threw it to a little check down pass. I think he threw one or two up to Brownlee, who had a couple catches, but nothing too. They couldn't stop the run. Hattiesburg couldn't stop it, so they didn't move away from it.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, if you can't stop West Point running the ball, they're just going to keep pounding you.
Yep.
And they've got again, they've got Murphy, but they got Chris Calvert running back. They got one or two other guys that can carry the ball a little bit as well. So no surprise that West Point ends its season at 15-0, back to back state titles, and
best team in the state.
I was about to say, is this the best team in the state? I think so. In fact, you know, we do the Daily Journal rankings, and we stopped doing them, I think, right after the playoffs got going, waiting until everything is over to have a final rankings, which will come out on a Friday in a column I have written, unless John decides to run it Thursday. But I've scheduled it to run in Friday's paper. I'm going to reveal our final rankings. This is not a spoiler. West Point's going to be number one. Now, they were number two all year from the preseason on because we had Tupelo number one. I had Tupelo number one. And, you know, Tupelo had a really good team and had a really good season. Went 11-0 in the regular season, then got bumped in the first round of the playoffs against a really good Warren Central team. But I knew, Dalton, by the halfway point in the season, I was like, yeah, West Point's the best team. But until Tupelo loses, I couldn't justify simply bumping them down. But I figured this might play out this way, West Point going deep into the playoffs and winning a state title. So that makes it easy to put them at the top, which is where they belong.
Yes, they do. I don't blame you for leaving Tupelo on top. I would have done the same thing. It's just
– Yeah, you know.
West Point is – yeah, they're the number one team in the state, not just our area.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Somebody on Twitter was saying, hey, West Point and Pearl, how about that? Well, you know, Pearl's a good team. I saw them play and beat Starkville in the 6A game. But they don't want West Point.
I don't think anybody wants West Point.
They don't. Trust me, they don't. They may say they do. And then they get out there and you saw what happened to Hattiesburg and pretty much every other team they played this year. The closest game was, 19 points against Grenada in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were beating people by an average of 30-something points. I forget what the number was, something like 30, 39 points or something ridiculous. So West Point wins another title in the 6A game. I just mentioned Pearl and Starkville. That's the game I covered last Friday. Pearl wins 21-17. Starkville kind of took control early. Rodriguez Clark, the running back, had a huge second quarter. I think he had 125 rushing yards by halftime. But they managed to slow him down in the second half, and the passing game really never got off the ground. And Malik Brown, the quarterback, came in banged up. Didn't practice much at all during the week, but he did start. But he didn't play. There was a couple of series they put the Altmyer kid in, and he, you know, he did well for what they asked him to do. But it just really couldn't get anything going in the passing game. And once they shut Clark down, the Starkville's offense just couldn't regain its footing there. And Pearl scored late in the game, just over a minute to go. Tylan Knight, two-way player, best player on that team, he scored the winning touchdown there for Pearl on a 4-yard run with a minute 6 to go. So Pearl with its first ever state title. So congrats to the Pirates. And Starkville, you know, trying to win for the second time in 3 years, and this was Chris Jones's first year as head coach. He won the 3A title last year at Kemper County. Tell you what, though, watch out for the Starkville team next year. They've got, like, everybody back. Brown is back at quarterback. Clark is back at running back. They've got a bunch of other players back. And Chris Jones said after the game, no, we'll be back. And, you know, I think you've seen this team play. They're good.
I believe it.
Yeah.
They're good. They're the real deal. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them next year, the same area, but on the other side of the championship win this time.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, you know, it was maybe a little bit of a surprise that they made the championship game to some people. Not to me necessarily, but it would be a mild surprise because 6A is so stacked in the north. Because, again, witness the Tupelo loss to Warren Central, which was a 4 seed, but not your typical 4 seed. So Starkville certainly earned its way into the title game and had a great season. So congrats to the Yellow Jackets for that. Let's switch gears real quick to basketball, Dalton. Get caught up on a few teams in the area that are doing well. Saltillo's boys, you went out and saw them play Baldwin last night. Nice little Lee County matchup between a 5A team and a 2A team. Baldwin came in undefeated. Saltillo took care of things, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And Saltillo, I think they were 6-1 before the game, and they were having a great season as well. But yeah, they definitely took care of things. It was it was never really a close game. They doubled them up in the first quarter, and you could look at any point of the game, and it was basically whatever Baldwin's score was, double it, and that was Saltillo's.
Yeah, and the final was 85-44.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got some good players back from last year, Saltillo does.
They do. They also have the Calvin Harris kid that was from Baldwin last year that played for Baldwin. He transferred to Saltillo.
I was wondering if that was him when I saw their roster on Max Preps.
Yeah, I think he had 20 points last night. 10 of them came late in the fourth quarter. They had their starters in almost the whole game. He scored on 5 or 6 straight possessions in the fourth quarter against Baldwin's, I guess, B team, A team mix.
Right.
But they didn't really have anybody stand out. I mean, they had a couple kids that they 8-10 points. You know, he had the most points, but they all scored in garbage time, basically. They looked good. The defense was fantastic. They held Baldwin's, I think, Crump, he was how good he is. They held him in check to 2 points until the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so a good win for Saltillo. Now they get to turn around Saturday and play
Tupelo
in the Doc Vandiver Classic at Baldwin. That should be a good one.
It should. Jeff Norwell was actually at the game last night. And,
yeah.
You know, they're playing well, too. They're both, I know Saltillo just lost to Corinth, I think, last week. They came back and just won this one to rebound. And then Tupelo has won 7 straight since their opening loss to Okolona, so
right,
they are beating the mess out of teams too. 30-30, 50-50, just they're beating teams bad. So this should be a good one.
Speaking of the Vandiver Classic, it's a good little lineup there. Another game to watch is going to be Oxford and Biggersville. Now, Oxford, I just spoke with Coach Drew Tyler. Chargers are 6-0, but now they're living life after Jarkel Joyner, Daily Journal Player of the Year last year. He could light it up. He's out at Cal State Bakersfield now. They also lost Terry Williams, playing at Jones Junior College, he could score as well. So the Chargers trying to find new ways to score. And, you know, Drew Sedis has been by committee, which is kind of, you know, really kind of what you want if you don't have that explosive score. So they've got guys like Tucker Scott, Drew Bianco, J.J. Pegues. They're all scoring in double figures there and just doing everything, he said, by committee. And, you know, so far it's worked. They played a fairly tough schedule. Now, you know, Oxford's a 6A school now. They played a lot of smaller schools like Belmont and Ashland and Amory, but these are some really good smaller schools they've been playing. And so, and they've won all their games so far. They took Ashland took them into double overtime the other night. But Drew Tyler is like, you know, it's just got to take a different approach this year. I mean, they're seeing one thing he stuck out that he said to me. He's like, we're actually seeing normal defenses this year. You know, because last year with Jarkel, they're, you know, they're seeing a lot of like triangle and two, box and one, all these sort of exotic defenses. Now this year, it's just something that's more of what they're used to seeing from opponents, but they're still managing to win, and they're winning in different ways. They may score 70-something, 80-something points to win. Another game may be in the 40s. They're just finding ways to win. And Drew Tyler, he's been there a long time. He's a really good coach, and so Oxford will be fine here as they go forward, but they will face, like I said, a pretty good Biggersville squad on Saturday at the Vandiver Classic. Now, Biggersville, they got a really good team. They beat Ashland earlier this year. They lost last night, though, to Wheeler, which is another good 1A team. That was the division opener for Wheeler. I think it was Biggersville's second division game. Wheeler, a reigning division champ, made it to the state tournament last year for the first time since like the mid-90s or something. Mitch Howell doing a great job. He's got four of his five starters back. They have a really good balance. They've got four guys scoring in double figures. Alex Wilson had a big game last night for Wheeler with 25 points. So that's a team to keep an eye on there in 1A. And Mitch was like, you know, I still think Biggersville is the best team in our division, but Wheeler went to Biggersville and won that game. So so that should be a fun little game, Oxford against Biggersville on Saturday at the Vandiver Classic. And a game I plan to go to on Friday, New Sites is having an invitational. It's mostly a boys' tournament, but there is going to be a nice girls' game I'm going to go cover Friday, Belmont and New Site. That's Chris Higginbottom at Belmont. He's got a few state championships there. And New Site has a really good girls program led by Byron Sparks. So I'm looking forward to seeing that game on Friday. Okay, let's go back to football real quick, Dalton. All area. It's coming up. The All Area Daily Journal All Area team, we put it together every year. And this year we're tweaking things a little bit, Dalton. And we're going to stick with this, I promise. I know we've done it a few different ways over the years. It's an exclusive team to make, okay? And so we've kind of made it that way. But here's what's different this year. We're going to, instead of just having, like we've had, I think last year we did first team and second team, just grouping everybody into all classes. This year, you know, and I think this makes sense, we do small school and large school rankings, 1A through 3A, then 4A through 6A. That's what we're going to do with the all-area team. So we'll have the 12 best in classes 4A through 6A. Same thing with classes 1A through 3A. So we're going to have just one team in large schools, one team in small schools, 12 each. So that's 24 total players. And, of course, we'll have the players of the year, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and this year, not telling you who it is, we're adding a 2-way player of the year. Because you see, especially a lot of these small schools, you see these guys that play both ways and they excel on both sides of the ball because they have to. It's a numbers thing. You don't necessarily have to do that at a Tupelo or a West Point because they've got the numbers. So I'm going to recognize somebody who excels in that regard. We'll have Coach of the Year. This all comes out December 24th. That's a Sunday.
I think this format's better. I really do.
I like it.
I think it gives the small school kids that are just so talented and put up such good numbers, it gives them a better chance of making it because, you know, they might not be as talented as one of the 6A players, but they put up better numbers and they do more work for the teams.
So. And they might be as talented, but it's hard to gauge because they're playing lesser competition.
Very true.
So, yeah, this is a good chance to give those guys a little bit more recognition. Look for that on the 24th. And actually, we've already picked the team. I'm looking at it right now, but I'm not telling you. But we've done our homework.
Y'all are not allowed to know.
I think you'll have to wait a few weeks, but I think you'll I know people will disagree a little bit with some of these maybe, but it's tough. It's tough. We had to make some tough choices, man. Had to make some tough calls. Had to leave some kids off that you're like, they might deserve to be on there. But, you know, we talked to some coaches and did some homework, and I think we've got a pretty solid team here.
Yeah, I think that was the weirdest thing for me is calling coaches and asking them, like, hey, what do you think? Because, you know, we're lost here.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we see a lot of these kids. We can't see them every week. And these coaches, you know, they have a pretty good handle on this. They watch film on these kids as they prepare for games and they coach against them. So thanks to all the coaches we talked to for their help on this. Speaking of football, we've got a game coming up this weekend, an all-star game. That's the Bernard Blackwell Classic, or also known as the North-South game. And going to be played in Gulfport.
It's in Gulfport.
And you'll be there.
Saturday at 11:30. I will be there. And we have 11 area players in it, 3 area coaches, Trent Hammond, you know, head coach Tupelo, Brian Jones, defensive coordinator Tupelo.
Yeah.
And then Andy Crotwolf, North Pontotoc. And we have 11 players. 8 of them are on offense. All of them, I was looking at them, pretty good offensive players.
Yeah.
And then 2 defense and 1 special teams. And the way I was looking at it is, you know, last year the South beat the North 21-14. They came back. It was 14-0 at halftime. North came back and beat them, scored all 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I think it might be a little high-scoring game than that.
Maybe. You got guys like Clark Mills of North Pontotoc and flinging it around.
Yeah, he had 52 touchdowns this season.
Yeah.
And then you got Cameron Hines from Starville, who's a great receiver.
Yes,
Austin
he is.
Morfis from Pontotoc.
Oh, yeah.
And then the running backs is what really impressed me. You got J.J. Jernigan from Amory.
Yep.
Jamarcus Quarles from Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of area, you also have Marquez Pam.
Whew. Yeah.
From Simmons, who is the 1A player of the year. So
yeah, Mr. Football.
They have some offensive weapons. You got Matthew Ray and DJ Rudd from Tupelo on the offensive line. They led that powerful Tupelo rushing attack all season long. But then on defense, you got Quentin Wilfon, the great linebacker from Oxford,
yep,
who has had just put up numbers after numbers after numbers up there, and then Jalen Ware, the cornerback, defensive back from Starville. So
yeah, a lot of good players. Should be a good game, and you'll be down there to cover it.
I will be down there, and I don't know much about these South players and the South teams, but the North roster is packed. I know that just from sitting up here this year, just looking at these names. I've seen a lot of them play, not just in our area and everything, but it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff there. Look for that coverage in Sunday's Journal. Let's close out the program with our Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognize a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. We'll start with the female Athlete of the Week. I'll get to see her play on Friday. Madison Farr of New Sight. She had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists on Tuesday in a win over Tremont, 84-58 was the final. And back on Friday against a good South Pontotoc team coached by Bill Russell. In that game, New Sight lost 58-47, but Madison Farr had 19 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Male Athlete of the Week, we've mentioned him already, hard not to, Dalton Marcus Murphy of West Point in that title game win over Hattiesburg, 23 carries for 226 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he completed 7 of 9 passes for 81 yards. So, you know, he's had a lot of good games. That I think you said in the story might have been his best game.
Yeah, I think yards-wise, I think it was his second best. But overall, I mean, it's just against the quality of opponent, that's his best game of the year.
And when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to say that's probably his biggest game of the year. So he goes out in style. So congrats to Marcus Murphy and Madison Farr, your Prep Rally Athletes of the Week. That does it for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday, Dalton and I. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, also online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. That's it. We'll see you next week. Thanks.